Hey there, welcome to the Podcast Manager Show. We are talking with Raina Booth today. Raina is a student of the Podcast Manager program, and she joined back in 2019, and she's going to share her story of becoming a podcast manager, leaving her 9-to-5, and how her business has grown over the past year. I hope that hearing these stories from real people that are becoming podcast managers and making this work and bringing an income for their family or for themselves individually, I hope that hearing these stories inspires you, but also gives you some action steps on how you can do this too. So I'm excited for you to listen to my interview with Raina. Hey there, I'm Lauren, and you're listening to the Podcast Manager Show, a podcast for podcast managers. Each week, we cover the technical and tactical aspects of running a profitable podcast manager business. With over 90,000 new shows starting each month, podcast managers are in demand. I mean, in demand. And I'm here to help you land your dream clients while reaching your monthly income goals and without working like crazy. Are you ready? Let's get to today's episode. Hi, Raina. Thank you so much for being here today.
Hi, Lauren. Thanks for having me. So excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about your story and really hear all the pieces of it, because I don't even know your whole story of like how you found freelancing and all that good stuff. So I'm excited to chat through it today.
Yeah. So excited to talk about it. It's still new to me.
Yeah. And from other success story episodes like this, it's fun to like recollect, you know, like where you started and where you are now. So tell us about yourself to begin with.
Yeah. Little backstory. So I'm in California, kind of West Coast girl. I've always worked in like corporate kind of hospitality is what I've been doing forever since like high school. But now I'm married. I have almost 3-year-old. He'll be 3 this year. So just a mom. It's just me.
Doing my thing.
Just doing my thing.
Yeah. So how did you hear about freelancing?
It really came up, like I got serious about it when I was pregnant. But I'd already, like, through the years, like, I always thought, like, God, if I could just work for myself, you know, that'd be so great. I can set my own hours and all of that. But really, when I was pregnant, that's when I was like, okay, like, something's got to change. I can't continue to work 50, 60 hours a week once my son's here. And just started on, like, the dreaded Google search. You know, you go down the rabbit hole. What can I do from home? And the whole, like, I'm not doing surveys for a penny each or something.
Yes.
This weird thing. I tried the MLM that didn't last very long. I felt like I was like hounding my friends and family. And then I really came across a virtual assistant program probably 2 years ago. Yeah, 2018. Just like another, like Facebook is always listening to you and stuff. It was like an ad that popped up.
Yes.
And watched her webinar and I was like, this is it. Like, I could just use what I'm already doing at my corporate job and make money. So I kind of just dove right in.
Yeah. So what services did you start with?
I started just doing like general admin stuff, like email management, you know, just really like very basic general admin tasks for people. But I realized quickly that that was not filling me up. It was actually quite boring. And I was kind of like, okay, if I'm already in corporate and I live and die by my inbox, I don't want to have to be in somebody else's inbox doing the same thing. Like, this isn't the life that I wanted. I might as well just kind of stick to what I'm doing.
So you had a moment there where you were like, you know what? I'm just going to stick with the normal job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, okay, I don't know if I could do this. Does it, you know, mm-hmm. Even though, you know, I could work from home, but yeah, this is it. This isn't what I wanted, what I thought it was going to be. And kind of, you know, like the beginning, right? Kind of took it seriously, kind of not, because I had a new baby, still had a job. So I kind of, you know, dipped my toe in, had a couple general admin clients, then let them go because I was like, yeah, this isn't what I wanted to do. And then I had a call with my coach at the time. And I just remember like telling her like, okay, this isn't what I signed up for. Like, I don't know if this is going to work. And we just really started talking about what I liked, what were my interests. Let's start there. And I just remember, you know, she's like, what do you do to relax? And I said, I listen to podcasts. all day, every day. And I've been doing it for years, you know, when sitting in an office, I just plug my headphones in. Mm-hmm. And she pretty much said, well, you know, you could be a podcast VA. Like, that's a thing. And I was like, I did not know that was a thing. And the sparks start flying and all these ideas. Mm. And she told me to connect with another one of your students because she was already a podcast manager. I think she already went through your program. Mm-hmm. So I connected with her and she was like, yes, do it. It's, you know, really great. And she gave me the link and I went to your site and looked at it. You know, I was kind of like, oh, is this, I don't want to have like shiny object syndrome. Like, right. This is what I want. And then I pretty much just said, screw it. Like, bye, done.
And jump in.
Yeah. Jump in and let's just see if this is going to work.
I totally get that. Like, you don't want to do the shiny object syndrome where you're just like, I'm going to try this. I'm going to try that. I'm going to try this. But it's like, you have to just step into something, you know, yeah. Especially when you knew like general VA work. Okay, that's out. What's the next thing?
Yeah, what's the next thing? And that was even like going through the modules. I just remember the first module, I think, was like your editing. And I like was like wide-eyed, like, what did I get myself into? Like, can I do this? But I just went with it.
Now, when did you sign up? Because I feel like it was forever ago.
It was, what are we in, 2021? I signed up, I'm like, what year is it? In the summer of 2019.
Okay.
So yeah, like July or August maybe.
Mm-hmm. And back then, I've added like a welcome video, but I remember back then when my course was newer, it was like the first video was like, edit. We're just like, there's no fluff. And someone emailed me even saying like, oh my gosh, I was so surprised that there was like no fluff in your course. And I was like, well, I probably need to like warm them up with like a 30-second hi video before it's like, no, we're getting to business.
Yeah, like you weren't playing. You were like, here we go. We've got stuff to learn. I'm throwing you into the deep end. Swim or not.
Yeah, we're doing this thing. Now it's a little bit, has a little bit smoother edges.
Yeah, I think I want to say you changed the name since I took your program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, yeah, in 2019, it was the Podcast Manager Jumpstart program or course or something. And then in 2020, I changed it to just the Podcast Manager program. And now that's what we're sticking with.
Gotcha. I like it.
Yeah. So I love that you said, though, that you had this like moment where you're like, you know what? I've tried the VA thing. It's not what I thought. Because I think that's so common. I went through that of like, I wanted so badly to work at home. But then I was just like, it's not cracked up to be what I thought it was. Because it's not all awesome. Everything has its good and bad pieces, right?
Exactly.
So what do you think, like talking to your coach, do you think it was just that she brought up podcast, being a podcast VA right away? Is that kind of what sparked it back up? Or what do you think helped you to just like take another look at freelancing?
I think it was really her, because I've always had, you know, like self-doubt and all those things, right? Mm-hmm. That go into it. And she was really like, no, like you can do this. Like you just have to find something that you enjoy doing that you can see yourself turning into a business. And that's when she pretty much was like, just tell me everything you like to do and let's see. And really, I said podcasting and she pretty much stopped me then. It was like, okay, you know, perfect. That's the thing. Yeah. And I was pretty much like, okay, well, let's give that a try, I guess. And yeah. It's actually worked out pretty well. So
yeah. Okay. So then we're mid-2019. You're like, okay, I'm diving into podcast management. How long did it take you to get your first podcast client? What did that look like?
So I bought your course probably like July or August of 2019, did the whole program, was sort of like trying to market myself as a editor, podcast manager, some kind of title. And I want to say I landed my first client in January of 2020.
Okay. So then what was that first client? Like, what did you do for them?
So she was a full launch. So I was going to help her from idea to launch podcast. She was in the coaching space and she was brand new. She didn't know anything about podcasting. And I told her that I was really honest, like, hey, I'm just getting started. And she pretty much said, me too. So let's learn together. And she had a team. So that took a little bit of the pressure off, but I was doing her editing, helping her nail down her title and the concept for the podcast, really, you know, streamlining it. And then the tech pieces, right? Like, how do you get it onto all the directories and all that?
Yeah. So how did that feel? Like, you said that you were honest about not having experience. I think that's important in that, on that first launch, because they're getting someone that like has the resources to do it, but isn't super comfortable. So they're getting this service usually at like a lower rate than somebody else. So how did that feel for you to like, okay, I'm launching a podcast?
Oh, I was so nervous. I thought like I was doing a terrible job because it's something I've never done before. But she's like, no, you're great. Because there were some times I'd be like, I'm just going to have to Google that. I honestly don't know. And she was, her, you know, responses were like, great, because that's what I would have done too. So let me know what you find out. And I was just like, okay, great. Like, we're going to go on this journey together. So she made me feel comfortable in not knowing everything because she didn't either. So that helped with my confidence to not be so nervous and like timid to really just, maybe you should do this or do that.
Yeah. And she's, she's like, I would have Googled it. And now you're just saving me time because you're Googling it.
Exactly. It's pretty much.
And then you're now know this answer. If that were to happen again, you're like, oh, I've already had to troubleshoot this. It's all such a learning experience. I think that's one of the advantages of podcasting is that a lot of people don't know how to do any of it. So like most of our clients, they like, they don't know what they're doing. And so even if we don't know 100%, none of us do, it's like we still know a lot more than they do.
Yeah. And I still, so now I've been fully into my podcast management business for a couple months now, but I still get timid or, you know, like I don't know enough when my clients ask me something, but everyone's learning. So I just have to tell myself like, it's fine. Maybe Google real quick and then tell them or something just to make it easier on me and not feel so overwhelmed.
Yeah. So you said that you're now like full time into your business.
Yeah, full time. And that was scary in itself. But so I've been full time since August of 2020.
Okay.
COVID hit and I got to work from home and I looked at my husband and I said, I'm not going back into the office when they tell us we have to go back. So I said, I'm like doubling down on this podcast thing. I have so much time. So I told myself, I'm going to be at home. I have so much time. That definitely was not the case. But I just, you know, I had my work laptop on one side. I had my MacBook on the other. And I was like networking in Facebook groups, answering my, you know, work emails on the phone. And I really just doubled down. And I was like, I'm not going back. By the summer, I'm going to be done. And I'm putting in my notice. And I just went all in.
That's awesome. Congrats. That's so exciting.
Thanks.
So part of it was like COVID, of course. You're like, okay, I'm not going to go back. But did you have a like number of clients that you wanted to hit to like to feel comfortable? Or what did you use to tell yourself, okay, I can do this full time now?
It wasn't a like I had to have so many clients. It was just like a revenue number. Like I just wanted to either fully replace what I was making or get really close, like one client away, I would tell myself that if I did leave, I wasn't going to be hurting financially or anything like that. So yeah, it was just like, I need to hit this per month. And if I can get close, good enough, you know, as long as it wasn't too far off.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So how many clients do you have now?
I have 7 and I'm getting stretched a little too thin at this point, which is a good thing. So I'm now really trying to explore the idea of scaling, subcontracting. It's a whole new thing. It makes me nervous to think about that part.
So I want to talk to you about that, but I want to know first, are you working full-time hours?
I work between about 25 to 30 hours a week. Mm-hmm. So not completely full-time, I guess, if you're thinking like a 40-hour a week job. I would say there are some weeks where I'm working 40, like if I have like a launch client or something like that, something goes on. But mm-hmm. I usually try to stick between 25 and 30.
Yeah. And you feel like 7 clients is like that number where you're like, okay, now I'm a little uncomfortable.
Oh, I think I was uncomfortable at 5 or 6 because every time I get a new client, I feel like I have to get them in, you know, like my workflow process. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like the overwhelm, like, oh my God, how am I going to add one more client to my already full workload or life? But it all works out. And
yeah, those first couple of months with a new client is the hardest because if you're launching with them, then that's a different period. And then, you're like getting into the rhythm of things and figuring out the kinks. And so whenever you add someone new, it's always like a new learning experience.
It is, because everybody, everyone communicates differently. Like, I have my systems. I have the ways that I like to communicate with my clients and how I like for them to communicate with me. Mm-hmm. So it's a learning curve for both sides. I have mm-hmm. to learn how my, my clients communicate and all of those things, and then vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, could you tell us like something that maybe a boundary that you've learned to have to put up, or like you said, like some sort of communication boundary? What's something that you feel like you've learned along the way that you're like, okay, now I don't do this, or I do this.
I would say, I think the biggest, it was with my first launch client. I gave her, this probably sounds really bad. I gave her my phone number and was like, just text me when you need something. It's fine. Right. Cause I'm like, I'm always on my phone. It's going to mm-hmm. be so convenient. That was a terrible idea.
It sounds like a bad idea.
It was a terrible idea. She was super nice, but it was just like text after text. And I felt like I could never get away from work.
Yeah.
Because it's like, even I'd like look through my text, I would just see like client name. And I'm like, oh, I'm not working. Like, what's going on? So I learned really fast. Do not give your clients your phone number to text. It might sound convenient, but it is not convenient.
Right. And like other apps like Facebook Messenger or Voxer, or like other apps that you can do, Slack, you can turn those notifications off. And it's just like texting. It's on your phone. It's convenient. Mm-hmm. But you can put it away when you need to. And you can just do personal stuff on your phone. So
exactly. Yeah. Now I use 100% Slack for all client communication. But it was a learning curve. And I kind of felt really bad. I had to tell her, like, can you just not text me? Number one, because I would lose track of things, right? Mm-hmm. Conversations and things like that. So I was like, email. Like, that's when I was like really heavy email. And now it switched to Slack because my email is just insane.
Yeah. I took my work email off my phone maybe in July or August. So 6 months ago. And I love it. I feel bad when someone's like, hey, I sent you an email. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I only check it once a day, maybe twice. But like, I just don't check it as much because I would be getting emails and I'd be like getting into bed. It'd be like 10:30 at night and I would be like reading emails. And I'm like, okay, Lauren, boundaries. Because your business will run you over if you let it, especially if you love it.
Yeah. And I've had to put really strong boundaries. I don't work on the weekends. Like mm-hmm. that is a very hard, well, I'm going to say I don't work on the weekends, but I do like my planning for the next week on Sunday night. So I guess it's kind of working, but it's after, dinner time, my husband's in bed, my son's in bed. But I don't work on the weekends. And then usually Fridays is what I call like my CEO day. So I don't do any client calls, nothing. It's pretty much like where I catch up on stuff in my own business or lingering things like client work. But I try not to work past maybe like 2 or 3 on Fridays. So
yeah, that's nice. And we can all like create whatever hours that we want to work. We can create that schedule.
Yeah. It's really convenient. Like now that I can make my own hours, I feel like my family and I, we've been camping. I don't know if it's just because there's nowhere else to go. You can't travel because it's COVID.
Yeah.
But I feel like we've been camping like every single weekend. And I don't even think about work because it's like, I just pack my computer up. I have a hotspot on my phone if I need the internet. And I just, get my client work done like I would normally do. And it's not this big scene or issue, elephant in the room. Like, how am I going to get this done? It's like, I work in the car on the way there, in the trailer in the morning, like a normal thing. So it's really great.
Yeah. Now, is there anything that you feel like you've had to learn since going full time?
Yeah, like I'm still learning to manage my time. I feel like it's always changing.
Mm.
I could, pre-plan my weeks but things change all the time. Like today, my power went out. So I'm always like, thank you, Jesus. I didn't have any like client work to do today. Like I got that done. But my time management, I'm always changing it, trying to be more efficient. Like how can I give myself back more time?
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I'm constantly working on.
Yeah. Now you said that you were comfortable around like, or you were getting uncomfortable with your client load, like around 5 to 6, mm-hmm. and now you have 7. And I feel that because I agree. I learned, maybe everyone doesn't approach it this way, but I was like, I'm going to take on as many clients until I'm like, okay, this is enough. I'm not going to stop before I'm going to make sure it's uncomfortable, basically. And I was the same way. I was like, five clients felt really good, especially depending on what you're doing for them. Of course, you know, if they're smaller packages, then it can look different. But now you're thinking about outsourcing some stuff.
Yeah. Now I'm thinking about outsourcing because I do a lot of done for you. Mm-hmm. I guess is what I would call my services. And if I take on anybody else, there's no way for me to keep up with the client load. Mm-hmm. But just outsourcing, it's like trusting somebody. I always think like my clients' podcasts are like my podcast too. So trusting somebody else to do the main part would be like the editing or something is really terrifying to me.
Mm-hmm. I feel you.
Because it's like, I don't want to have to do double work. I might as well just keep doing what I'm doing now. So it's going to be an adjustment.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And some people come into podcast management, like maybe they'll edit a little bit, but they are mainly going to outsource it. And I'm like, good for them. Because once you get into it, there's a control thing.
Yeah.
Because you're like, you're used to, number one, hearing every word that client says on the podcast. Now, granted, you would likely listen to every single episode, regardless if someone else was editing it. But I had a lot easier time hiring my own podcast manager for my podcast than I do outsourcing anything for my clients. I'm like, oh, my show? Sure. I can let go of that because I don't want to hear myself talk all the time. But my clients' shows, like, no, I don't want to like let anyone else do that. And so I totally feel you there. Like, what is your favorite thing to do on shows?
I really like the strategy piece, I guess. Well, two things. I like the strategy piece and I really honestly enjoy the editing. Sometimes it might sound really weird, but it's like kind of relaxing to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I usually do it at night, like when the whole house is quiet and everyone's asleep and I can just like sit down and focus. But yeah, I would say those two things I really enjoy, but I'm leaning more towards now focusing on the strategy part of podcast management.
Yeah. No, I agree. There's like, it's so creative, or it can be really creative. So it's like, just get, when you get into your flow, you can just like ignore the world.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Nice. And just to see, I recently helped a client of mine. She's been with me a year, I think, coming up in February. Yeah. She's the second client I signed on. And just to see her use her podcast to sell a brand new membership and pretty much like selling out, just mm-hmm. helping her like navigate that strategy piece of when to start talking about it on her podcast, how to talk about it, her calls to actions, and pretty much how it trickles down. You know, mm-hmm. like what do you put in the show notes and where do you put the link to whatever you're selling or promoting and things like that. So that recently was very, very interesting to me and how we pieced it all together to reach her goal of selling her membership and her course.
Yeah, it's like marketing, but specific to podcasting.
Mm-hmm. I don't do like the marketing per se.
You mean like social media?
Yes, I will mm-hmm. do her graphics and audiograms, but I'm not posting or doing any engagement. So just to see that part, because I'm out of that process, that's what she does. And to see how she tweaked the show notes that I write every week to change it for her newsletter was just really, really interesting to watch her take the same content, really her main content from her podcast, and kind of change it just slightly for different platforms that she's on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you think about repurposing, when you write, everything is worded, all the copy is done a little bit differently. You know, like social media is like, you have to capture your attention and it has to be like storytelling and all that. Whereas with an email, they're just all different.
Yes.
So number one, as a podcast manager, you can say, well, this is kind of how we want a episode description to look like.
Mm-hmm.
That's valuable. But then I like how what you're saying is like, she would take what you wrote and then use it on the different ways that she was promoting the episode.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. She would kind of take different chunks of her show notes for kind of blog style, like the really long, mm-hmm. and she would take different chunks of it. And that was her social media caption or, you know, her newsletter, different things like that.
Yeah. Now, you said earlier that you felt like you had like some self-doubt going into this. which who doesn't, right? But what are some other, or maybe expand on that, but what are some other like mindset blocks you had to work through, either starting out or going full time or any of that?
I'm always thinking, I guess the biggest was like the editing, right? Like, can I do this? Can I edit like that tech piece? Like, I feel like that's the biggest hurdle, at least for me, like getting into it. Is this going to sound good? Just that whole tech part, that it really is just a confidence thing. Like, now that I get into it, I don't even think about any of that. You know, I just go in and I have my template and I, you know, just go through the steps, because now it's just like second nature to edit and set everything up. But I think a lot of the big mindset, which still pops up, is because podcasting is such a niche thing that a lot of people, when they come to you, you know, they're really looking at you like as the expert. And sometimes that could be, at least for me, like a little overwhelming or intimidating. Like, oh crap, like they're looking at me, like, tell me, share with me all your knowledge.
You're like, sometimes whoa.
I don't want to say the right thing. Is this the right thing to say? So it's kind of that I'm in this niche and I love it, but then somebody that comes from the outside that comes in and they're looking at you as the expert, that could be a little like, am I the expert? Am I not? Did they like what I say? So that's really where my mindset blocks happen. No one's ever told me, like, that's the worst advice you've ever given me.
Yeah.
No one's ever said that. But, you know, when you're thinking about stuff, you think, like, they're going to think I'm terrible. You know, they're not going to like this. But it's just really just putting yourself out there. And I used to tell myself, the story I tell myself in my head is definitely not what anybody else is thinking about me.
100%. And that's, like, something that our businesses help us to realize, and we kind of have to get through that, is that just all those layers of self-doubt or imposter syndrome. And I then see it in my personal life, because I've gotten through things like that you're saying in my business, I then see it in my personal life, and it's like they kind of mirror each other in ways.
Totally. I was just telling somebody the other day, I was like, I feel like when you jump into the entrepreneurial space, it's really like a personal development. Like, it's not just about business. It's about you and your mindset and how comfortable you are with just putting yourself out there. And I feel like that's this whole journey about, you know, whatever niche you're in, it really starts with like just putting yourself out there and talking to people and letting them know what you're doing. And that sometimes is a huge hurdle for people to do.
Yeah. And I love that you pointed this out, that because podcast is a niche, you know, it's a good thing that people look at you and say that you're an expert. But I hadn't really thought about the fact that it's like, then you feel the pressure to be, you know, that podcasting expert, because a lot of people are like, oh, she's a podcast manager. That's so unique. So she must have so much experience, because how else would she be in this?
Exactly. Yeah.
It's not like another service where people think you can kind of just walk into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that 100%. 100%. And I just think, you know, it's, what's the saying? If you just know like 1% more than somebody else, then you're fine, or however that goes. So I just try to tell myself that. And I just look at you know, you have a little more experience than me, obviously. So it's like, I look at you as the expert in my space. So I don't know if that makes you feel, you know.
Yeah. And I try to also remind you guys in the group that, like, I'm a step ahead of most of you, but it's like, I'm only a step ahead, you know? So it's like, we're all in this together. And that's one of the reasons too, for me, is I have a couple clients left that I love working with, and I can't really imagine not working with them, because I like them, but also because I want to stay in the grind with you guys. So we can, like, just be like continuing to evolve, and I can kind of be on that front line of seeing where things are going. And now, I don't know if I can keep that up forever, but yeah, it's like, we're all just like in this together. Everyone's on their own path. We're all in different places, but you look at yourself and you're like, I'm certainly not the expert she is, but we're all thinking that.
Yes.
You know, it's like, you've been doing this for a year and a half. And so there would be so many people that would look at you and say, oh no, she definitely is like top level.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I've had like people, you know, like, oh, you know, you need to go talk to Rita. Like, she is great. Like, she is the expert at podcasting. And like, I hear this and I'm like, no, I am not. And I've had certain people from the private group message me who were in the program way before me, like, hey, you know, have you had issues with this or have you done? And I'm thinking like, oh my God, she's asking me like my opinion. I always go to her because I feel like she's that one step ahead. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she might know just even a little bit more than me. But mm-hmm. sometimes when certain people in the group like message me, I'm just like, oh, okay. Like, oh my God, like they really want to know. We're on the same level, I guess. And yeah. sometimes I don't feel that.
Mm-hmm. There's so many little pieces of podcast management that you're like, oh, I haven't run into this specific problem yet. And maybe someone else has. I think that's one reason that community is so powerful, is that it's like you can't possibly have run into every scenario. You know, there's there's so many little tech things and just all sorts of little things that can come up or questions you can get from clients that it's like, oh, I haven't been through this, but I'm sure someone else has.
Oh, 100%. And I feel like there's always something in like the podcast industry. It's always changing, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's always new like hosting sites popping up and all kinds of things for podcasters. And it could get a little bit intense, but just having, I always tell people, like having just like your solid framework and your systems, it should be fine. And they all pretty much work the same way. It's just like the new hot thing.
Yeah. And, you know, I think especially when we're starting out and we don't want to tell our clients that like we don't know something, I like to remind people like you don't have to know everything. And even now that I have the program, someone will ask me like, oh, yeah, have you heard of podcasts? there's like podcast book or something. There's like all these like Podbean, like all of these pod fill in the blank, right? Half the time I'm like, no, I haven't heard of that. It's like some new thing, like you said, some new thing. And it's like, I'm not going to put the pressure on myself to know all of these things. It's just not necessary.
Yeah, to learn all these things. And I, especially like when you get a new client, you know, or I get one, the main question is like, what's the best hosting? You know, what's the best mic or what's the best this? And I just tell them like, just pick one. Mm-hmm. Here's three recommendations. Like, don't think about it too much. Like, close your eyes and pick one. You know, I always try to tell them it's your content. Like that is what's going to make people come back. They're not going to know what kind of mic you have. They're not going to know what kind of headphones you have on. And frankly, they could probably care less about those things. Yeah.
Yeah. That's more fun for the podcaster, is like picking out a fun mic and, you know, doing that whole thing. Yeah. That's great advice though. Cause I think one role that we play as podcast managers is keeping the overwhelm as low as possible for the podcaster. Because especially if they have a business that they're adding this to, they've already got all of this stuff that's going through their head. So if we can say like, hey, we just need to choose these three things, and you can give them due dates and all of that stuff, it's like, okay, they just feel as if they're checking stuff off of a list. And in 2 weeks, they have a podcast.
Yeah. And I, going back to the mindset, I work with some six-figure owners, business owners, and they, you know, people might look at them like, oh my God, they have everything together, but podcasting for them is a new space. So they have to work through their own mindset and imposter syndrome and, you know, helping them work through that and just trying to think about, okay, like we all go through the same thing, like help them navigate. And like you said, take out that overwhelm or, you know, try to reduce it as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And I would tell, like, give me your stress and give me your overwhelm, because when you think about podcasting and that's all you relate to and it's like stress and overwhelm, I go, you're going to burn out and it's not going to last. Like, you're going to do your four episodes for a launch and maybe one other month, and then you're probably going to stop.
Yeah. And that's also what they hire you for, is for you to come up with some ideas or whatever it is they feel overwhelmed by. Like, how can we rework our system so you don't have to worry about social media graphics going out? Or how can you, you know, there's always a solution to those kind of things.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, if they already have a team, it's like, who on your team maybe could take that off your plate? And I try to help them, like you said, navigate that and try to make it as seamless as possible.
Yeah. And when you come onto a team too, it's like, we know it, like once you've had a couple clients, you know kind of what works. But each time you go onto a different team, it's different, because it's like, do they have a social media manager? Do they really like social media? So they're like, okay, I'm going to post everything. I'm going to handle that, you know, and that's just social media. There's other things are you going to be talking directly to like an OBM most of the time? Or are you going to be talking to the client? Like there's different things that we learn throughout taking on those clients of where we kind of fit in a team.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's, I think you mentioned it earlier, there's always like an adjustment period when you sign on a new client. And I think, yeah, it's just kind of navigating. Do they have a team and where do you fit in and who's going to take what? Or even who, I had a situation recently, I needed a scheduling link and my client got a new VA, but it was kind of like, who do I talk to? Mm-hmm. Do I Slack her OBM? Do I Slack the new VA? So it was just like navigating, making sure I'm contacting the right people to get what I need.
Yeah. Okay. So we talked a little bit about you looking to outsource some stuff. What else are you kind of thinking? And we talked about how you are going to kind of focus on strategy. Tell us about where you want your business to go this year.
So this year I have really big income goal, like the whole like revenue. But I'm really focusing on to scale my business is really just having, I call it like a main hub where people can go pretty much grow a community. So I'm really exploring the idea of starting a Facebook group and how that all fits in to my business and all of that jazz. It's a whole new world of putting myself out there. And I like to be behind the scenes. So thinking of a group, it's like I'm front and center and on stage all the time and can't go run and hide, you know, behind.
Yes. Yes.
Behind a computer and just say, well, it's fine. I just edit for her. I don't actually have to.
Yeah. Yeah. You can just be like the one waving. Yeah. And not talking. Yeah. So have you started this group or are you still in like planning stages?
Oh, gosh. It started. It's created. I just have to tell people about it.
Yes. That's a big thing.
That's where I'm at. Yeah. And it comes back to mindset. But I'm telling myself February 1st, I think that's like Monday. Like, I just have to do it, right? It's like here, it's like I'm back to where I was, but now a year and a half ago, right before I found your program, like, oh, do I want to do this? Is this something I want to do? And I just have to like get over the hurdle, like pull the Band-Aid off. What's the worst could happen, right?
Yeah, that's so true. And like you're saying, so, okay, I actually heard this. It's a man. I forget what his name is, but the person that created the like zone of genius idea, some book. I heard him on a podcast recently, and he was saying how he changed this zone of genius thing to a spiral. And so whenever we basically up level in our business or our life, we go past the same hurdles and the same mindset stuff. But it's a little different because we're at a different place in our business or a different place in our life. But we just continually circle around the same things. And I like loved that image of like, you know, you just have to keep getting past those mindset blocks or those hurdles or whatever, because they'll show up. It's just like how quickly maybe you can work through them and say, oh, of course I'm afraid. Why wouldn't I be afraid? But I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah. I feel like mindset blocks and imposter syndrome, they're always going to show up. Mm-hmm. It's just how fast you get over it. And then they're always different, you know, where you are in your business. So
I don't even want to say like how fast, because I don't like, you don't want to like rush through it. But sometimes you just have to be like, okay, I'm going to box it up. I'm going to put it on the side. I'm going to ignore it. No, but like, I'm just going to move past it. I already looked at it. That's fine.
I know. My coach is like, Raina, you've already created it. Like, it's set up. Like, it's so embarrassing. Like, scheduled post it. It's so embarrassing. And she's like, just invite people.
Okay. Well, we will for sure link it. We'll just like, we'll just kindly add it to this episode. It'll be out there before this goes out anyway.
All of a sudden I'm like, where's this request coming from?
Yes. Yes.
But that's where I am. It's really, you know, it's growing this business and the life that I want. And how can I, you know, merge the two or mesh the two, business and living my life and what I want. So that's where I'm at this year.
Awesome. I'm so excited for you. And I'm excited to see what everything looks like at the end of 2021.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm serious. We will link your Facebook group. This is probably going to come out in a little while anyway. So you'll probably have some time to after February 1st to get comfortable with it. So we'll add it to the show notes.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Thanks, Raina. Thanks so much for hanging out with me today. Come connect with me over on Instagram at Lauren Wrighton or in the Podcast Manager Mastermind on Facebook. And let me know what you liked about this episode. You can always find the links and resources mentioned in this show over at laurenwrighton.com. Until next time, I'll be cheering you on.